Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back. For-profit colleges market aggressively to non-traditional students who often struggle to balance school, work, and family life. A new study by the Center for Responsible Lending finds that for-profit colleges leave students with higher levels of debt and lower graduation rates, and often with no degree and no improvement in their job outlook. Whitney Barclay-Denny of the Center joined us in studio this week to talk about their research and the need for greater state and federal protections to prevent predatory for-profit colleges from taking advantage of low-income students. Well, Whitney Barclay-Denny, welcome to News and Views. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you're at the Center for Responsible Lending, and you're working on, among other things, the issue of for-profit colleges and the impact it's having on Americans of all ages across the country. You've written a report on the subject. Tell us about what's some of the big issues right now in this world.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we wanted to evaluate in our report was to see how these schools are performing against nonprofit traditional colleges, community colleges, and public schools, and nonprofit private colleges. And we wanted to look nationally because we wanted to make sure that the trends that we were seeing were national, that they weren't local trends or they weren't confined to one state. And what we found is that in every state, across the board, for-profit colleges are underperforming nonprofit and private colleges, and that their demographics are different. So students who are attending for-profit colleges look different than the students who are going to nonprofit public and nonprofit private schools.
So we should say, actually, there is a report. It is entitled The State of For-Profit Colleges.
That's right. And we have a state-by-state report, so you can go and pull any state in the country, including a map that you scroll over, and you can see what each state looks like.
And folks could find that at the CRL website or Center for Responsible Lending. Just Google Center for Responsible Lending, and the report will show up.
That's right.
We see that folks aren't really getting their money's worth with a lot of these colleges, but are there some particular abuses that really stand out?
So there are particular abuses, and we've seen that in the failure of Corinthian Colleges and ITT Tech, where there was outright fraud when it came to job placement numbers and what recruiters were telling students. And recruiting is a big issue. In their lawsuit against EDMC, which you might recognize as the art institutes, mm-hmm. the Department of Justice described the recruiting as a call center rather than a school. They just were focused on recruiting people and not actually on educating them. But a lot of the failure doesn't necessarily fall into the category of fraud. It's more things like low graduation rates, higher bills to pay because they have more loan debt, and less of an ability to pay it when they get out. So we see really high default rates at a lot of these schools because borrowers are just struggling to repay.
What's happening at these schools? They don't have enough good teachers. They don't have enough good facilities. They're just not doing a good job of educating. It's more about getting the student loan money into their coffers rather than about dishing out education to the students who deserve it?
That's right. So we know that these schools can take up to 90% of their revenues from what we call Title IV dollars. So that's things like student loans and Pell Grants. And that doesn't include what they can get from the GI Bill. So some of these schools are funded up to 100% totally by federal funds. And in 2012, Senator Tom Harkin, who was then on what's called the Senate Help Committee, did a report that looked at the 30 largest for-profit schools. And what he found is that money is really being spent on things like CEO salaries, it's being spent on profit, and it's being spent on advertising rather than being spent on student services at many of these schools. And so, you know, the borrowers go in and the school looks great, they're sold a great pitch, but what they actually get is less than what they were sold.
So a lot of us have heard these ads on the radio, on
That's
television.
Right.
They sound attractive, and probably in some cases there is some legitimate education from some. We're not here to say that every single for-profit college is ripping off every student that attends one, are we?
No, that's right. There definitely are people who get something out of going to school here or school there. But what we do find is that students who borrow, regardless of which school they go to, have a harder time paying that back. And so we actually did some focus groups as well mm-hmm. with some borrowers in Florida, all of whom went to for-profit schools. And some of the things that they said were just really eye-opening and heartbreaking. One said when he realized that his debt load was over $100,000 for this degree, he said, "I felt like somebody just punched me in the stomach." And then I think the worst was, because a lot of these students are first-time college attendees, they said, "I don't even tell my daughter that she needs to go to college anymore because I feel so used."
Now, obviously, a lot of folks that attend these schools could attend public universities or at least public community colleges and do a lot better in terms of getting a better quality education at a much more affordable price. That's generally the case pretty much nationwide as well.
That's right. Community college is really a great place for a lot of people to get started, and obviously they're not going to pay as much for that degree. I think, you know, what we see in the demographics of borrowers who attend these schools is that they tend to be lower income than average students. They're more likely to be women and therefore more likely to be single moms. And they're also more likely to be people of color. There's really a disproportionate number of people of color attending these schools. And so there's sort of a failure all the way down the line from counseling when it comes to what type of school to go to really making sure that the government is doing what they need to do to make sure these schools are treating people fairly.
As the saying goes, it seems like there ought to be a law.
Right.
Be something we're doing about this. Why is this happening? Why isn't Congress or state legislators, why aren't they stepping in and taking action?
So we made really great strides under the Obama administration when it comes to this issue. There were a couple of rules issued by his Department of Education called the Gainful Employment Rule and the Borrower Defense Rule that really address these abuses. Unfortunately, we're right now looking at rolling back those rules. In fact, the Borrower Defense Panel is meeting this week, and then in February, the Gainful Employment Panel will meet. So we're really starting to see a backsliding on these rules and this oversight. And that's where we think and what our recommendations are that the states can step in and do a better job of oversight when it comes to these schools.
I know your focus is national. What about North Carolina? Can you tell us about where things are here?
Sure. So demographically, North Carolina tracks pretty closely to what's happening in the rest of the country. The students are low income. They're mostly women. The one place where North Carolina really stands out is our African American population is disproportionately, even compared to national numbers, represented in these schools. And when it comes to outcomes, North Carolina is actually a little worse than what we see nationally. For-profit colleges in North Carolina see a completion rate of about 30.6%. And that's, you know, opposed to 50% for our public schools and 56% for our private schools. And our default rates are really high as well. And that's about 12% for students who attend for-profit colleges.
Default on their loans?
That's right. That means that they haven't been able to make a single payment on their loans in 2 years.
Wow. Is there anything that the North Carolina General Assembly could do about this? I mean, is it
Absolutely.
Pretty much up to the feds?
No, it's not. So the education regulation in the United States happens on what's called the triad. It's three entities, the feds, the accreditation agency, and the states. And so states have to approve these schools to operate in the state. And North Carolina could instruct their approving agencies to look harder at outcomes of these schools and look to see how they're actually serving students instead of just looking at things like their physical plant, the number of teachers they have, and the number of parking spaces that they have.
Well, let's hope they do that soon. It's been an enormously informative report that you've written. We look forward to reading it in depth. If folks, again, want to check it out, they should go to the CRL website, Center for Responsible Lending, and the report is entitled The State of For-Profit Colleges, right?
That's right, responsiblelending.org.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and keep up the good work.
All right, thank you.
Up next, we get a preview of WRAL's documentary, Land of Opportunity. Stay tuned.